Well, there are a number of important truths that we could talk about for the new year. This time of year, it's always easy to talk about, obviously, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And usually at the end of the year and the beginning of the new year, it's also appropriate to talk about the significance and the importance of the Word of God. And we could also speak... I know my dad would always like to speak about the coming of the Lord and always like to say perhaps this will be the year, this new year in which he comes. I think it's also appropriate to talk about the importance of the gospel message. And the gospel, in a general sense, refers to the good news, and that means all of the good news related to the Lord Jesus Christ. It refers to him and the promises of the Old Testament, his coming as Savior, his coming as King, and all of the truth related to the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. It is the gospel. But in a precise sense, the gospel message is... a message that relates to our salvation. And it must speak of our need, of the sinfulness of man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. And that passage of Scripture is specifically speaking of Christians. Because it goes on to say, being justified freely by His grace. But we know that there's nothing... unique about a Christian that doesn't also apply to the lost condition of a non-Christian. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is the issue. Sin is the issue in our world today. And also, when you speak of the gospel message, you speak of the good news of all that Christ accomplished on the cross. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "And he made him," speaking of God with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, "that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And all that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross is focusing upon the good news of our salvation. And whether you talk about propitiation or reconciliation or redemption or substitution and imputation and all of the things that are taking place, the great transaction between God the Father, God the Son, in order that we might be saved, He in our place for our sins to save us. Wonderful truth. That is focusing in on the good news of our salvation, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also the Scriptures... in speaking of the gospel message, include the call to receive that message. It's a call to sinners and to point out their sin, to point out the finished work of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is complete in Him, and then calling sinners to come and receive that salvation in Jesus Christ. When you look at a passage like Romans chapter 10, and verses 8 and following, it says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's accomplished, what does it say? "The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's wonderful truth. That sinners who see Jesus Christ and see that He is the Savior, all that He's done to save us, and they call upon Him, no one will ever be disappointed. No one will ever be put to shame. And what's interesting is we look at this gospel message in the context of our own world, and our world is in darkness. And rebellious sinners are hostile to the Word of God. And they are spiritually lost, and they cannot find the way. They are blind, and they cannot see the truth. And they are dead, and they cannot make themselves alive. Spiritually lost, blind, and dead. And they need the gospel message. They need what they do not want. And what the Lord tells us is to go and to preach the gospel, to go and present the Lord Jesus Christ. And you look at this task, and when you think of it, you say, who is sufficient for such a thing? I always think that when the Lord was devising his strategy for communicating the gospel message, and if he would have only asked me for my opinion, I would have said, don't use sinners saved by grace to preach the word to sinners. It would be much better for everyone to have a Damascus Road experience. That would be a wonderful thing. Or for angels to preach the gospel. That would be amazing. But sinners saved by grace, to take the gospel message and present that to sinners, I don't think that's going to work. And yet here we are. But it doesn't work because it's a sinner preaching to a sinner. It works because the gospel ministry is the Lord's ministry. And I want you to look at this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And there's a wonderful, wonderful imagery in this passage, because it talks about, this is a request that the Apostle Paul makes to the church in Thessalonica. And it's a request for prayer. And he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. The Apostle Paul understood that the success of the gospel ministry was not in his hands. And he understood that if the gospel ministry was going to be successful, that God was going to have to do something. And this prayer for us is a prayer for really the glory of the gospel, the glory of the Word of God, and also for deliverance. But if you look at the first part of this statement, he says, pray for us. And then he talks about what the Word of God does. And it, when he talks about what the Word of God does, he says that it may have free course. That's the New King James Version. The New American Standard says, may spread rapidly. That the Word of the Lord may have free course or may spread rapidly. The actual word is to run rapidly. And the picture, I think, that is appropriate to this text is the herald who receives a message from the king. And when he receives the message from the king, he runs rapidly with that message to deliver that message. But it's interesting because it doesn't. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, pray for us that we may run rapidly. But what is running rapidly here is the gospel message. And it may refer to this urgent, the urgency of the herald as he runs and comes to the place. But it's really, as far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, he didn't say the herald running, it's the gospel that's running. And he said, pray that as for the ministry, pray for us, that the gospel may run and may run rapidly. That the gospel may be successful. And it's a wonderful picture because it's sort of hard to envision the gospel as a runner running very quickly. But as the Apostle Paul went in ministry to different places, he understood that the success of the gospel was not in his hands. It was God who makes the gospel run rapidly. And so he says to these Thessalonian Christians, be on your knees praying for us. Pray to God that the gospel message may run rapidly. And then the second statement that he makes about this, that may run rapidly and be glorified. That be glorified is stated in a way that indicates that it is God who is glorifying. It's a passive statement. It's actively running. We pray that the gospel may actively run and be glorified. Because it's God who glorifies that message. So it's not just the gospel running, but the picture is of running successfully, but actually be glorified. And the reason why it's glorified is because it's God's work that brings glory to God. He's the one who takes the lost, the blind, and the dead, and he points them to the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. All of that is what God himself accomplishes. And he is the only one who can bring that message to glory, to bring it to success. When we live in a world of darkness, and we look at the problems of our world and how the world is really contrary to Christianity, moving further away from Christianity, we speak of America as being a post-Christian nation. And we're a post-Christian nation because we have departed from a firmer foundation of Christianity. It's just drifting away, a post-Christian nation. But further, we're a sinful nation. And we have abandoned God, and then we wonder, we kick God out, and we then wonder why things are as bad as they are. That's what's amazing. But we look at this and say, what is the need? And the need is not political reform, it's not social reform. It's not financial reform, though that would be nice. That's not the need. The need is spiritual reform. The need is the change that only God can give. And one of the reasons why God waits for the darkness to be indeed dark is that the glory of his gospel message will shine even brighter. It's a wonderful thing to live in a world where we say, you know, it's hopeless. It's hopeless when we look about us and see the difficulties of the world about us, and we say, I think this is not going to work. It's hopeless. It's a wonderful thing because God is the God of the hopelessness. He's the God who waits until there is no hope because he's the only hope. When we look at our world and we say, I don't think there's anything that we can do, it's always been true there's not anything that we can do. But the answer is the gospel message. And we need to be faithful in prayer and faithful in ministry, but faithful in giving that gospel message. It needs to be heard. And we look at the people who are in darkness. If you have pity on the people in darkness, have pity on them because they don't have the gospel message. That's what they need. And he says in this passage, and pray that we will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. There's danger for the herald as he goes out there. And danger as he goes out and proclaims the gospel message, because they don't want to hear the gospel message. They don't want to hear the message that will save them. It's amazing. They don't want it. They're in rebellion against God. Their fists are clenched in hatred against God. And they don't want him. They want anything else but him. And what he has for them changes and transforms their lives. That's what is needed. We're going to say, well, can that happen in our world today? And the answer to that is, how big is your God? You talk about the sovereignty of God and the greatness of God. The answer is there's nothing too difficult for him. You say, well, modern man is too sophisticated for the simple gospel message to change. You say, well, that's just not true. You know, modern man is no different from ancient man in terms of being lost, blind, and dead. And the way that plays out for modern man may be different from the ancient man that lived long ago. But the answer is the gospel message. The answer is the grace of God that only can change a human heart from the darkness of sin and death to the light of Christ. And it's only Christ who can accomplish that. It's only God who can accomplish that. It's only the Holy Spirit who can accomplish that. And we as a people need to be on our knees praying for the revival of the church and the awakening of the lost. Because that's our hope. And we look at the new year and we say, in one sense, this year is no different from any other year as we progress into the new year. But we should be called to our knees. And I think we should be looking for ways to give the gospel and ways to go forth with the gospel message. But I can tell you that more importantly than the way that you go, we need to go with the message. But most importantly is to go on your knees in prayer, because only God can change those hearts. And the gospel ministry has always been God's ministry. It's not our ministry for God, it's God's ministry through us, primarily so we shall see what it is that he is doing. But it's a ministry that is a significant ministry and an important ministry. In Hillcrest Chapel and Trinity Bible Church, we need to see the gospel running swiftly. And not just that we need to see it, but it's important for us to see in order that we shall glorify our God for that which only he can accomplish. And he brings us to our knees in order that we may see his glory. And it's a wonderful truth. And so we look and at this passage and we say, well, you know, it's our charge and our challenge when you look at this passage of Scripture to continue doing what the Apostle Paul was doing. And to continue praying that his ministry, God's ministry, will be completed and accomplished in the day and age in which we live. So it's always appropriate to talk about the gospel message, because God's word goes forth with God's power to the glory of God. And God is glorifying himself in the day and age in which we live, and he will always do so. So let us be in prayer, and praying for the revival and the awakening that only he can give. And pray that many people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and pray for many of our family members and friends who have departed from the faith, that God will awaken their hearts. It's truly significant that only God can change their hearts. And we need to be praying that he will do so. Our hope is in the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to start out the new year recognizing that Jesus Christ is the answer today. He's always been the answer. He always will be the answer. That God is summing up all things in Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And you are saved, and you are saved to the glory of God. And just as you look at this world in darkness, you can look at your own heart and know that there was a time when your fist was clenched in the face of God, and God broke your heart. And broke your heart with his love, and broke your heart with his grace, and he brought you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us be praying that great work is accomplished in the hearts and lives of many, to the glory of God. Let's bow in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you that you are accomplishing your purposes in the world in which we live. And we're thankful that the cross of Jesus Christ is sufficient today, and that you are sufficient to save. And we look at our world, and we look at the darkness of our world, and we say, perhaps we have passed the point of no return. But there is no point of no return, because you are leading this world to sum up all things in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would cause your gospel message to run swiftly today, that it would be successful in the hearts of many. We pray that you would glorify yourself with the work of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of many. And we're amazed that you would use us to go forth with this gospel message. But we pray that you will bless and you will provide and that you will glorify yourself. And we thank you for the opportunity to see this, of seeing this great blessing, and pray that you will accomplish revival and awakening in our day. We ask for the blessings that only you can give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.